Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I've been trying to answer somebody's question, and I've been busy. Yeah, been very, very busy with trying to answer a question, and I liked the question. It was really a good question, but we are talking about that question. So I've got that question on my mind, and we might want to just address that question. Would you lead us in prayer?
Father, again, as we would think about our day and we think about our message even now, we would pray that you would just give help even now for our brother and for ourselves, just that you would be honored by what is said and that we could learn from your word and have a deeper appreciation of it and have a deeper desire to take it and apply it in our own daily lives. Even as we would wrestle with various questions which arise from Scripture, we pray that through your Spirit you would give us understanding. We pray that you bless our time even now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Is it possible to blacken these areas? Can't do it here, I guess, but and also kill the lights if that's possible so we can get a good look at this. Want to address an issue that was brought up, and it's a good issue, very, very solid issue. And the issue is regarding what happens about, you know, the Lamb's Book of Life or God's Book of Life. And if we could just go to the first one, I'd appreciate it. JC, do you have your thing? That little pointer? Thanks. Forgot to ask you about that. This thing will burn a retina in your eye. Is it a battery shot or something? Go ahead, what? Well, I might be pointing with my hand. What we want to do is, I got a PowerPoint presentation for you. There are a number of verses in the Bible that talk about the God's Book of Life. It's put as God's Book of Life or the Lamb's Book of Life or written in the book. And what we want to do is just look at those verses. I think we've exhausted the verses that are talking about that. I don't know of any other verses that have this other than these verses that we're going to present. And so you're multitasking. JC is multitasking right now. Yeah, next slide would be helpful. The Book of Life. There are verses that give a description of the Book of Life. These verses are... And number two there is Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And these are, this is cool. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Okay, so what we are establishing right now is this area right here. Is that, go blind with this, right? This is the Book of Life, which is, another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. I think what we're going to try to prove tonight with this little PowerPoint presentation is that everyone is written in the Book of Life at the moment of conception. And we're going to show that. There's a verse that actually says that. And so Revelation 20, 12, go ahead. And then we have 15, and whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. What we're going to try to prove is that a person, every person born at conception is in the Book of Life. And when they reject the Lord Jesus, either, you know, they don't believe on the Lord Jesus and then they die, they're out of the Book of Life. They're taken out of the Book of Life. And so if a person's not found written in the Book of Life, they will never get to heaven. So this is next one, that's 2015. Exodus 32:32. This is probably Moses talking to God. My understanding is that this is the first time somebody ever says, would you remove me from the book? And yet if now he's talking about Israel and God's judgment on Israel, and he says, yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin and not blot, and if not, and if you won't forgive their sin, blot me out, I pray thee, out of the book of which thou hast written. Now, Paul writes this. He says, I wish I was accursed for the sake of Israel. It's the only two people I know in the New Testament that talk about this, that talk about being. It's not. It wasn't possible for him to be blotted out of the book because he was a believer. But he was. His heart was there. Same with Paul. Next. And so, actually, if you can go back just a second, you guys, can you do that? You can't do that, huh? Okay. Out of the book which thou hast written. So this doesn't say book of life or God's book, but it does say book you have, the book that you have written. Okay, next. Exodus 32:33, God speaks to Moses, and the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now in the New Testament, the greatest sin that can never be forgiven, the sin that can never be forgiven, which is it? What do you think? Say again?
Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Well?
Unbelief.
Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit was consigned to a specific time with the Lord Jesus. But the sin that can never be forgiven is unbelief. In other words, if a person dies without the Lord Jesus Christ and they reject him as their personal Savior, that can never be forgiven. That sin can never be forgiven. Okay, hit it, next one. In Psalm 69, verse 28, David prays an imprecatory prayer of judgment. That's an imprecatory psalm is a psalm that is talking about the judgment of God. And David is praying the judgment of God on a certain people or a person, etc. And so here you have David prays an imprecatory prayer of judgment on the wicked. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Okay, so you have this prayer that he prays, let them be blotted out. So that would kind of preclude that there is a book written with people in it and blot them out of that book. Next. Psalm 139:16, regarding when a person is recorded in God's book at conception. This is probably the only verse that deals with that. And if you would look with me, we've got this up here. But if you would turn to that passage, please. Psalm 139, verse 15. We're going to look at verse 15. I didn't put verse 15 in here. But we have verse 15, and it says, my substance was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret, intricately wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. The word substance there in Hebrew is really meaning skeletal bones, action. He's talking about his physical being. And then it says, thine eyes did see my substance. And the word substance here is different word than in verse 15. This is golem, which means embryo or fetus, yet being unformed. In thy book were all my members written. I italicized my members because the members here is not in the Hebrew. My members is not in the Hebrew. And so what he's saying is, and the New King James makes the correction on this, and he says, and in thy book all were written. In other words, this is probably the only verse that says when is a person put in the book of life or written in the book. And it's interesting too, because this brings in the whole issue of when does a soul become a soul. And the theologians would call it the traducion theory. The traducion theory is a theory in which the origin of the soul. You have the soul, the moment the egg is fertilized by the sperm is the moment there is a living soul. That's the traducion theory. And by the way, the sin nature has passed through the male on this. The sin nature has passed via the male. Romans 5:12, for by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all have sinned. So you have the sin nature passed through the male, which... theology dovetails all over the place because this is what makes the necessity of the virgin birth. The virgin birth, why did Jesus have the virgin? Why was he born of a virgin? Why? Because the sin nature's not passed through the female Even though she had a sin nature, Mary could not pass that sin nature on. It's passed through the male. So she was conceived of the Holy Spirit. She was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And so thus the sin nature, he was born without sin. He had no sin. And the Bible clarifies that he who knew no sin became sin for us as the sin bearer. So we have here, thine eyes did see my substance, the embryo, the fetus, being yet unformed, and in thy book all were written. So I think this is the only time you can see it's the moment of conception. Okay, next please. Yes. Like what?
Like how long you will live. The days of your life God has written in his book.
Oh, you mean like my point is determined?
Well, it's just...
Well, you got a problem with that. You have a problem. What about suicide? I mean, what if I committed suicide? I understand. I mean, God knows. He doesn't cause. See, we think that because God knows his omniscience, because God knows, therefore, he causes. That's not it at all. You know, but God knows. And... I don't know how to answer that.
I guess my main question is, the other versions make it sound like the days of your life are written in the book, whereas it sounds like you're saying that your name or your soul or who you are is written into the book of life.
Yeah, well, maybe it's dependent. Maybe it's dependent on the origin of the versions. What I mean by that is it the Textus Receptus and/or the accepted text versus the Westcott and Horrit text, NASB. The New King James puts it this way, if we can go back, I'm sorry, Shorty. How does the New King James put it?
Verse 16 says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, and as yet there were none of them.
Okay.
Follows right after they all were written, the days that were, I forget what the rest of it was there.
The days fashioned for me, yeah. When as yet there were none of them.
Well, maybe going through all of them, and then coming back and looking in retrospect, seeing if there's...
Well, this is the only verse of when that I can come up with in the sense. I'm sorry, say it again.
It still fits your argument that at conception, this counting of days and this start of life happens.
Yes, well, that's true. I mean, you know, and in this, the thing that I want to, is right here, we're written. It's in a book. It doesn't say God's book, but it's in a book. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, he's got this written. He's got this down. Okay, next slide, if you wouldn't mind. And that's the only verse I can think of, and... I have to say that a man wrote a little pamphlet, which is probably the best little pamphlet I've ever seen on the issue. And I happen to have it. And Gene, who is with the Lord now, is an elder in an assembly in Georgia. It's called God's Book of Life. I mean, this is not on the hip parade with Zondervan or Moody Press or anybody like that. It was published by himself. And one of our board members with the Ezekiel Project, Dr. John Reimer, wrote a foreword for it. And I thought to myself as I read it, I thought, this is fantastic. This answers a lot of questions. He has done a great job in helping us to understand what takes place and how do infants go. Because I've had it where a person comes up to me and says to me, in fact, this guy, I wasn't even talking about it. I wasn't even preaching on the issue, and he says, where do you think babies go when they die? And he was a setup. He was setting me up on this. And I said, well, and I quoted that verse that, you know, you know that argument on it. I forgot your name. Forgive me. Your name?
Craig.
You got two Craigs here? This is amazing.
I'm the nice Craig.
You're the hot dog, Craig. Anyway, so I mean, he asked the question, and I'm thinking to myself, why, first of all, are you asking that question? And what do you mean? I said, so what are you saying to me is that the babies who are aborted are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. No, I'm not saying that, Chris. I said, then what are you saying? Then what are you, why are you bringing this up? I don't know why he was doing it to me, but it got me going and studying it. And that's what I wanted to do, because I thought to myself, we got to have a fairly decent answer for this. Daniel 7:10, regarding the judgment of God, a fiery stream issued and came forth from him 1,000 times, ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were open. What books are those? Go ahead. And the books were open. Regarding the great tribulation in Daniel 12:1, at that time shall Michael stand up, and a great prince standeth for the children of thy people, that would be Israel, and there shall be time of trouble such as never was. There was a nation even to the same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So it seems to me, as we're going through these, that people are written in the book. When they are born, they're written in the book. Now, what gets them out of the book? Huh? Because they're out of the book. Some are out of the book. Next slide. So you got Malachi 3:16. They that feared the Lord spoke often to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Okay, next. And then Luke 20, at 10:20, Jesus talking about the sent 70. Notwithstanding, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because of that. Now, I don't see any verses in the New Testament that we are to be written in the book, that we try to get written in the book. We're asked to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, for sure. But we're never asked to be written in the book. Write me into your book. Write me. I don't see that anywhere. I could stand corrected on this, that's for sure. But I don't see that. It says we're written in heaven. Go ahead. And so that was with the 20, Philippians 4:3. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellows, and help those women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with the other my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Okay, next. And then Hebrews 12:23, the great assembly, the general assembly, excuse me, and the church of the firstborn who are written in heaven to God and the judge of all and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Okay, so we have this. We're written in heaven. There is a book in heaven. There is God's book, the Lamb's book, and we're going to see that in a second. Go ahead, JC. Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. So now it would preclude that his name was written in the book of life, and now he's not going to blot it out. But I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels. Right. Yeah.
So then, are you suggesting that if your name is originally written in the book?
Yes.
Well,
if you reject the Lord. I mean, I'm not sure.
Well, see, because here he says, here he's talking about, a believer is the one who overcomes. We know that from 1 John. So therefore, he's saying the believer will not have his name blotted out of the book. So
right.
Is the idea that the person, you get your name blotted out at death? I mean, when does your name get blotted out?
I would think so, yeah. And the reason why I think that is because there's a chance for everybody to... So if somebody rejects Christ, right? Is it possible that that rejection... Not is it possible. Does it mean that that rejection is a final rejection? No. The finality of that rejection is at death.
Yeah, I think that you would say that because if it was the moment the person sinned and their name's blotted out and you don't see it written back in, you not believe, that's the sin that keeps us from heaven, is our unbelief.
Yes.
But what about verses in like John where it says, he that believes is not condemned, he that believes not is condemned already because he believed not in the Lord?
Well, that condemnation is there. If you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're condemned. Well, it's like, yes, they're already condemned.
But their name's not blotted out yet.
Well, then how do they become condemned? By belief. Right.
No, Craig, you're making a valid point. What are you saying?
Wait a second. This is good. Two.
Right. They're already condemned before they even have a chance to believe.
Like a sinner who's walking around here, they are condemned. John 3:36 is condemned already. They are condemned.
They're walking under a sentence.
Right. So if they are walking under a sentence, but you're saying no, but their name is still currently written in the book.
Until death.
Right. They're walking under the sentence, but the sentence is not carried out.
That's right. The sentence is not carried out. Yeah. Is it possible for that person to be reprieved? Yes. How? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The sentence is carried out when? When they reject the Lord and they die. Every person that
is, we as believers are regenerate and we will live forever, then we therefore will always be in the book of life.
Yes.
An unbeliever is not regenerate, they're dead in trespasses.
Right.
And therefore, when they die physically,
yes, they will be blotted out. Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I think that's exactly what this is saying. Because you have it, and we go continue if you would, please. 13:8, which is during the tribulation, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And so what you have here is you have this situation that worshiping him here is the Antichrist. You're worshiping the Antichrist here. So whose names are not written in the book of life or slain before the foundation of the world. So this is talking, question?
They're alive still, but their names are not in the book of life. But they're still alive.
Well, they've been blotted out.
But they're going to worship the Antichrist, which means they're still alive.
Yeah, understand what happens when you worship the Antichrist. It's a sealed, done deal. Say again? I can't hear you.
That's the unforgivable sin.
I mean, in other words, what they're doing during the tribulation is they're worshiping the Antichrist and they can't come. Yeah, they got the mark. They're not coming. I understand what the Left Behind series has that they could possibly do. But once you receive that mark, it's curtains. I'm sorry. Yeah, so I mean, that's when they worship upon the earth, they worship him, their names are not now written in the book of life. Why? Because they've been blotted out. Go ahead. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit to go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they beheld the beast that was and is not yet is. So, it's a tough verse.
That one says their names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world.
Right, from the foundation of the world. Oh, that's a good question. Okay, let's get to the next slide. Get to the next slide. Okay. Because there shall in no way enter in anything that defile, neither he that worketh abomination or make a lie, but they who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Understand something here. That the prior verse, I need to do a little homework on. But in this verse, this is clear as a bell in the sense that there are people. See, we're not asking to be written in the book of life. We're in the book of life. Now, this has ramifications. And I'll tell you why this has ramifications, other than that one verse. And then continue, if you would, Shorty. I think I got 22:19. This is not a spurious one. What does the New King James say on this, 22:19? The NASB would put it from the tree of life. So I might not put this in. God shall take away his part out of the book. The new NASB says tree of life. What does it say?
Revelation 22:19. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part in the book of life from the holy city and from the things which are written.
It's interesting. It's interesting how the NASB and of that tree of that, I don't know how to put it, the where we get the text, where we work from the text, the Westcott and Horick text, which is the NASB, the NIV, the Amplified, etc. Or, excuse me?
Footnotes say that M text and the NU read tree of life.
I can't hear you.
I have a bad voice for you.
No, my hearing is bad, so you've got to just.
The text and the NU say it's tree of life.
Tree of life? Is that what the New King James says, Shorty? You have the New King James?
Yes. It says Book of Life. The Masoretic text and the NU, I forget what that means. But those
so the Masoretic text would say Tree of Life?
Yes.
Majority text? Okay. That's fine. So this is not a great verse for that. Even Gene Hollingsworth admits to that in his little pamphlet. So we won't make a big, we won't put a doctrine on that because of this area right here. But I think, JC, if you'd move to the next verse, our next thing. Summary of this. There are verses that speak of a book that God has. And so it's clear as a bell. We see that there's a book that God has. Go ahead. This book has all the names that are written that have ever lived from all time first written in it. Unbelief blots out those names from this precious book. And thus eternal judgment later ensues upon physical death. Next. Names of all unborn children, whether naturally or aborted, children who die before the age of accountability, are in this book and thus saved for all eternity. So why would I, and this is, talk about a roundabout way of answering your question. What verses can you point to? And this is why we went this route, Craig. And took this time to do this because you said, what verses do you have? I think we got about like 17 verses that talk about this book and people in it. Now, do I know all the information regarding that? No, I don't. I'm just a human being. And that was a little joke there. But, I mean, it is not a joke that I'm a human being. Anyway, so, and subject to limitations, that's for sure. But the point of the matter, it squares really beautifully with the idea of everybody being in the book, people rejecting a death. If they've rejected and they die, they are out of the book. They are out of the book. And so all children, aborted fetuses, and in fact, we say the tradition theory really, really is strong on this because when is the moment of conception? Now, you have different individuals that will tell us, even Christians will say, well, it's in the third trimester that a person becomes a person. Or the moment of, and they call this creation, the moment that the baby comes out from the vaginal canal, the moment they take that breath and cry out, that's the moment they become a viable person. Some Christians even hold to that. They become a viable person. And that's why some you'll read sometimes when people, you'll say, well, that guy's a Christian. They believe in abortion. Why? How could you possibly believe in abortion? Because they say that a person becomes a viable human being, a living soul, the moment they take a breath after being born. Other than that, they're tissue. And the tradition theory, the theological position of the tradition theory is that the moment there's conception is the moment there's a living soul. Has a sin nature for sure, no questions about it. Conceived in sin, born in sin, because the sin nature's passed through the male. For by one man, Romans 5:12, for by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passes upon all men, for all have sinned. It's not the... not like what Calvin would hold to. Calvin held to the idea of a federal headship. The Bible doesn't teach that, however. In other words, that he was like a federal head of us. He's the seminal head. That is, we are in his semen. We were there. So when he sinned, we sinned. How? Seminally. And a good illustration of that is with Melchizedek and Abraham. And so what happens is we are a seminal, Adam is our seminal head. The semen comes through the male. And so the sin nature is passed through the male, thus necessitating the virgin birth. Now that's really important because, all unborn children, Sid's death, this covers the issue of what about a person who is mentally retarded? He's 45 years of age but has the understanding and the capacity of a 3-year-old or a 2-year-old or whatever. When does a person reach the age of accountability type of situation? And that age of accountability is undetermined. When I was raised Roman Catholic, I remember very strongly, I'll never forget this, thinking when I hit my 7th birthday, now I'm responsible and I got to go to Mass. That's what I kept thinking. I'm thinking, oh man, I'm going to be responsible. And when I hit 7, I'm going, ugh, boogers. Now I'm responsible for it, you know. Because the Roman Catholic Church taught that at the age of 7, you're accountable before God. But that's not true. It is a variant age, depending on the individual. And God knows that time. God knows that time. So it's, a child. Let's see, how many got saved at the age of 3? You got saved at the age of 3? JC got saved at the age of 5. How many got saved at the 4? How about 5? Okay, see, it depends on the individual. So JC does not have the mental capacity. I'm only kidding. Yeah, it's variant on different, on maybe the way a person confronted you at the age of 3 and some of you at the age of 4, 5, etc. I was at camp, and this one girl, I was talking to this girl, and I said, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And she said, no. She was, a teenager. And I said, you didn't do that? And she goes, no. I said, would you want to? She goes, yes, but it's not my time. She was a Calvinist. She was raised in a Calvinistic home. Her father never pushed her to come to Christ. She just will come into the knowledge of this. I said, let me just tell you something here. I couldn't take it. I said, let me just tell you something here. Wouldn't it be nice if you could know for sure you can go to heaven? She goes, yeah. She wanted to. I said, how about you just asking Jesus to be your personal Savior right now and end it? She goes, I'd like that. And she trusted Christ as her personal Savior. But she felt, because of misteaching, that she couldn't do it. You know, because she maybe might not be one of the elect. And so that becomes an interesting, actually very damaging scenario. We got another bullet? Yeah. All names blotted out due to unbelief are subject to divine retribution, ultimately in the lake of fire forever. Which raises another question about the heathen, which will take us like for another 4 days. Well, we do have the time, but it's bucket week, right?
Go ahead.
No, get out of here. No, never. So I think, and Craig, in answering your question, what verses are there? I give you my best shot here. Okay, I give you my best shot. So do we need a break at all? Right now, is everybody, okay, a few hours. I don't know what, Craig, I don't know, but it's bucket week, and I know we're fluid, and I've been told that by a dear brother. But what's your pleasure? It's 12:07.
We're going to eat lunch at 1:23.
I like a man who knows where he's going, specific. Okay, we're eating lunch when? Okay. All right. So let's just talk a little bit. I got another PowerPoint presentation for you, and we're going to shift gears. Now we're going to go to our notes, if you don't mind, unless somebody has a comment or question. Yes, ma'am. I think they're this book, one in the same.
Okay.
One in the same book. The other books that were open, that is to say that they, and they're found wanting. In other words, it's not salvation by works. We're talking about Revelation 2015. I mean, 2012. Yeah, I think that they're one in the same. You know, there's not, he's got God. But the other book there is where they're just found wanting. You know, their works are not going to do it. And so then you got the book of life. And they are not in the book of life. You know, okay. So we've got, you know where the other one is? Okay. Just squeeze me for a second.